today, and I'm a recovering addict. Thank you. And I'm going to give a clarity statement. I may talk about God a lot up here today. I may tell you how grateful I am for the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Because I am. I've been here 9,190 days.
All right. All right. Yeah. Woo.
This is the 25th year they've had that convention, and this is my 25th year of being clean.
All right. Woo.
And on the spiritual side of this, 2 and 5 = 7. That's the completion in God.
All right, then.
So I'm not today going to curse at you because I respect you today. I'm not going to give you your attributes of what I think you should be because I'm speaking on the ultimate weapon. I had to do some homework because I don't want to come up here not cocked right. For my first 17 years in here, I did everything that was not conducive to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I owe a great debt to the program. I did everything. I sold dope my 4th year. I sold dope my 10th year in here. I was facing 30 to life my 15th year in here for disfigurement in Maine. I had my daughter in the penitentiary prior to getting here. I was a molested child. My babysitter beat me up. She burned me. And as a result of that, as a result of being abused, I became an abuser. I'm an ex-abuser. I have a sponsor today that always tells me, and I guess I got to get busy immediately because I don't have much time to do this. I'm on a divine assignment. And my assignment today is to, I know you know that any act seeking recovery can get this thing. But we got people here with 75 days, 117, 123. And see, we talk a lot up in here. But what the third step says is it's not demonstrated in what I say out my mouth if I'm not living what I say. I'm the addict that didn't live none of that. As a result, I got shot with 20 years clean. I got shot with a .45 automatic point blank range in front of my kids. When you live with 1 foot in here and 1 foot out of here, things will happen. And then everybody want to come and put your name on the front of a t-shirt and say, my bad. You know, what can you say? We have all examples of what recovery is not. See, I'm an ex-lesbian. I'm an ex-whore. I'm an ex-drug addict dealer. I'm an ex-druggie. I'm an ex-thief, I'm an ex-robber, I'm an ex-abuser, I'm an ex-molester. But you heard what I said, ex. Today, I'm an ultimate weapon. Because I can't tell you what recovery is if I'm not going to demonstrate what recovery is. We can all talk a good game. But they said it's meaningless unless it's lived. I had to do some homework. What does ultimate mean? It means maximum, decisive, conclusive, the ultimate weapon. Representing a limit beyond further progressiveness as in investigation. The final result. What does weapon mean? It means artillery. I come packing.
Yeah, baby.
I come packing because I don't want to take the X's from in front of my name. I can't tell you not to be a whore if I'm a B woman. I can't tell you not to sleep with nobody's husband if I'm using somebody's husband. I can't tell you not to spend your money and that you can make it with what you make. See, I got babies right here that's looking at me. They look at me daily. They watch me. And when they're not watching me, he's watching me. So I'm not trying to entertain you no more. I've done enough entertainment. I ran off an ego for 20 years. And so when people hug me today and they say, what's up, Go-Go? I know you. No, no. She don't live here anymore. I'm the best that ever did it when it comes to dropping it like it's hot and getting in where I fit in and all that. But I cannot demonstrate. It's not that I don't like the music. I don't like what the music turns me into. It's not that I don't like the strip, but I don't like what the strip turns me into. I said to myself, see, let me tell you how the God of my understanding works. I got shot and I was under the car. I was bleeding from every area in my back. I got in my body. I had white pants on and a colored shirt. And I was under the car on my cell phone. And I said, well, baby, I just got shot. But I'm all right. To this guy I was talking to at the time. And they pulled me from under the car because I was not going to let him shoot me in my head. So I would like to tell you that I did some special provisions to fall back and slap. But I did slap my body under there. I say, I will not die today. Because no weapons formed against me shall prosper ever. So when I got from under the car, a new me got up. See, the God under my understanding has a unique way of doing for us what we can't do for ourselves. He had to move me in order to transform me into the woman that you see today. I'm not sexually active, and it's not because I can't be. I got 99 problems. Using any one of you guys as a victim would be what I could do if I did that. But I don't do that today. Thank God for that. I don't do it not because I can't. I know my worth today, finally. I'm a worthy woman. And it takes a special joker to get with me. But if I'm not worthy enough to be his wife, I don't need him no way. I had so many sex partners, and I ain't use you jokers in Narcotics Anonymous. You know why? Because you talk too much. You ain't coming in there sharing how good it was and stuff. You're not doing that to me today. I use me enough. I had to learn. When I got to North Carolina, I ain't have nothing. I ain't have nothing. I ain't had no place to stay. I made $22 an hour. I didn't have nothing saved up. So I can't show you how to have a bank account with a substantial amount of money in it if I ain't have nothing. Cedric took care of me when I got to North Carolina. People sent me money that loved me in spite of me. They helped me. And I wasn't going to ask because I was working off of ego and image still. I had one pillow and a blanket and a 10-year-old daughter that was sleeping on the floor with me. And I did all of this clean. So don't tell me about how much you lost everything and, oh, woe is me. Ain't woe is you. It's a blessing in some time. It's a blessing to have lost everything, and the God of my understanding replenishes everything back. He had to get me to a place where I was delivered from people. He had to deliver me from what I was hearing from you. So he put me in a place where it was nobody at. I'm in a place where they got one meeting. One. So if you miss that, you don't get no more. So if you don't have what they call a network of people in your life that's working this, and I'm the one with the most time. So everybody's pulling and grabbing like a crab in a barrel, and I've got to be able to have something to give. Because it ain't about me no more. It ain't been about me in a long time. My ego drove me so much that I didn't know how to forgive people. And I'm going to say this to anybody that has unforgiveness in your heart. If you do not forgive anybody that you have ought in your heart with, the God of your understanding can't forgive you. You cannot work a program with unforgiveness. You can't do it. I don't care what they've done. Because we ain't living on yesterday's news no more. If you stand up and you look in the mirror, the person that they hurt when I was 6 ain't there no more. She's gone. Little girl had to grow up. It took me a long time to get to this place. And I still got people saying, we gonna hold you charged for holding all that good to yourself. Well, give me a charge then. Because it took me a long time to be able to look in the mirror and like what I see. I no longer want to go back to yesterday's information and think it's enough for me. I deserve more. I've hurt long enough. So I will not allow anybody to hold me hostage on what happened yesterday. What an ultimate weapon is somebody that's living a program to the best of their ability, that has a God of their understanding, that can guide you through the 12 steps, not tell you how to do them, guide you through by the way they live. And if they make a mistake, hold their head up, come back to a meeting, share their experience. I thank God for change. It took me a long time to change up in here. It took me a long time because I was driven by what you thought of me. My ego wouldn't allow me to change. My ego was that face I put on every morning to come out and please you. To please a bunch of dope fiends that didn't give a rat's A about me. And every time I walked away, they said, she thinks she all that. No, I knew I was all that. And if you think I thought it then, you get double for your trouble. It took me a long time to get here, y'all. I ain't like me. But I couldn't tell you that I was operating off of low self-esteem. How about no self-esteem? I had to create an image and an ego that you would be pleased with. I had to put on the right thing so that you would look at me twice. I had to understand that if I didn't start allowing this program to work in every area of my life, I would die. I don't know about you, but when I am not operating out of the God sense in my life, I do stuff. I do it big. There is no limit to my sickness. I was in treatment. And this is the thing I did say, I had a baby in treatment. My baby daddy found me on Facebook. 22 years later. I was having sex under the pool table, in a bathroom, behind the wall, wherever I could get a cheat sheet like we did in the penitentiary. I took penitentiary to treatment. I said, y'all got men up in here? I was tired of sleeping with girls. It was all right, but it wasn't what I needed in my life. God was still. People don't understand. You can't turn your nose up at people. Iron sharpens iron. When you know better, you do better. You have been given I don't even know what to call it. You have been given a list of things you should do. But if you never read the book, you would never get there. People don't impress me to got things. See, things don't equal recovery, neither do social acceptability. We get up here and we use this podium to try to impress everybody so when they walk out, they can be like, look, let me say this. It ain't what you say out your mouth, it's how you live it. For real. It ain't what you got on that makes you who you are. Things ain't never made me. I had plenty of things. I had a house that I lost. I had $40,000 last April and it was gone by Thanksgiving. I don't even know where the money went. But God still intervened even on that. I ain't coming here to play with nobody today. If you don't work a program and get your God and your understanding like it talks about in the steps, if you don't find somebody that can guide you through this process, you would not become an ultimate weapon. You would just be flinging your clean time flag, acting as if, faking it until you make it, and eventually you die. We ain't always talking about a physical death. How about when you can look at somebody's eyes and the black hole that they talk about filling ain't filled yet? Sometimes we are spiritually bankrupt up in here. And we need somebody else to fill the void when they can never do it. I could never have enough sex. I could never buy enough things. All I really needed was somebody to love me genuinely for me. But I couldn't present genuine to you when I didn't know who genuine was. I was a fool for many years. I just didn't want to call myself that. Then I got a sponsor. Pam, that's my sponsor from last night. And I got another one speaking tonight. And now God has afforded me to get a be a part of a family, the Get Honest or Die family, that my new guy has afforded me another level of recovery. It says we have an inability to accept ourselves on a deep level. We may not even realize that this discomfort is the source of our problem. We got to stay out of the shallow water. We got to learn how to swim. Because if you don't swim, you'll sink. It's amazing that sometimes we talk about we had a spiritual awakening. My spirit was awakened with bullets. But that wasn't the first time I got shot for all of them that told the story prior to me. That was the second. And I'm still here. I have a little brother that I'm going to bury next Friday. He died. He had liver cancer and it started to deteriorate his brain. He got the same name as me, Francis Johnson. Then I got a father who died last April. I got another little brother that killed himself, shot his wife in the head. Got another brother that took a hot shot in the penitentiary and he gone. I got another brother that was executed. But I'm still here. I have no time to be unhappy. They say the wider the base, the stronger the point of freedom. My point ends up with God. If I don't have him, I'm nothing. When I wake up in the morning, my two sponsors over there tell you, I was like, good morning. How you doing? Hey, Jesus. How you feeling today? In the mirror. Sometimes we got to remind ourselves who we are. See, I don't know about you, but I do know this. Adolf Hitler's regime was ran because he talked loud. You can lead people anywhere that don't know where they're going. That's what he did. Hi, Hitler. And everybody say, everybody follow behind a madman. How many madmen and women we got up in narcotics tonight? See, because my first 10 years up in here, none of my sponsors are here to talk about I had them selling dope undercover. You need some money? I can't talk about Thomasine Springs. She said, I'm strapped for some cash. I said, I got a way you can make a few dollars. She didn't tell me she was HIV positive. What, we came out of treatment together. She used to see me in group all the time. Every group, she was like, stand up, addict. I said, I'm going to get her. If I don't know my disease has a hit on me. It wants to take me out at all costs. It wants me to be the whore, the undercover one that says, nobody can see me. Oh, you remember how we used to do when you was tricking and you ain't really want nobody to know? You used to do that brush pass. How about when they with they wife? It's time for the mask to go. This fourth quarter, playtime been over. The ultimate women, the ultimate weapon up in here is a recovering addict, not an addictive addict that is not practicing the principles that are conducive to this 12-step program. We've heard a lot of good stuff this weekend so far, and the best ain't finished yet. But I do know this. I'm going to bury my brother next week. My brother was the same one that molested me. And I called him and he said, I'm sorry. And I said, I forgive you. And he said, it's all about forgiveness, right? And I said, yes. And I said, I just want to know, if you die the day of tomorrow, where will your spirit rest? And he said, I'm covered. And I said, okay. Then I went to the altar last Sunday and I prayed, God, if you're not going to heal him, please bring him home. And he died Monday. So I just want to say to the newcomers, don't watch what people say. We so dope up in here. We so butt up in here. We sold you up in here, you and everything else that we had. We sold it. Watch how people walk. The eyes are the window of a spirit. When you want something from somebody, look them in their face. Their eyes will tell you whether or not they're a liar. Live accordingly to the 12 steps and the 12 traditions and concepts up in here. Because if you don't, you won't live long. And it always has to be a physical death. Thanks for letting me share.
Let's thank Francis. Yes, let's thank Francis. At this time, I would like to introduce our next speaker, Sean C. Sean C. from Woodbridge, Virginia.
How you doing, family? My name is Sean, and I have the disease of addiction.
Hey, Sean.
You got to excuse my voice because I was at the basketball game rooting on my sponsees as they was trying to win the championship. They didn't get it this year, but we're going to keep coming back. Man, Narcotics Anonymous. This is a beautiful thing, man. You know, it's like I'm supposed to be here speaking about being a square. And maybe you can say it by the way I talk, because I kind of talk proper, right? That this dude is a square, right? But for real, I would have to beg to differ on that right about now. I want to try to tell my story. Before I got here, I used and I couldn't stop. And I hated myself because I couldn't stop. I really felt like it was because of me and how terrible I was and how I was never going to be nothing in life. And that this was the best that it was going to get, this feeling that I was getting while I was getting high. But then it was like some of those times I wasn't getting high the way I was used to getting high. It didn't work. So it was like I was hitting this wall. And it brought me to thoughts of suicide, you know. And suicide was the only way I was ever going to get away from what I was running from, which was myself, which was from the environment that I lived in, which was not conducive of helping me feel good about Sean. My stepfather used to tell me how I wasn't nothing, wasn't going to be nothing. And just, you know, he wouldn't talk to me. He would come home and kiss my sister and hug my mother and wouldn't even look at me. So it was real easy for me to understand how it's so true that I don't belong and I ain't going to be nothing and I ain't worth nothing. So really, like, you know, when I got high and it wasn't working for me no more, it was just like, what the hell am I going to do? And death really, really was the only way I was going to live or be free. So I remember what happened was I tried to kill myself and I was going to go into school with these pills in me or whatever. And it didn't work. But I fell out on the Eagle in front of everybody in my gym, and like all the embarrassment that I went through and everything that I that hit me at that moment, man, it was just like, now I can't even go to school no more. And you know, I ended up in a psychiatric hospital, Mass General Hospital, and I just wanted to die, man. And then I remember my psychiatrist, she came in to see me, and I told her, I said, I need help. I don't know what there is for somebody who's in my condition. Because, see, my family, my thing is, I smoke weed. That's all I did. So I really hated myself even more because I couldn't stop weed. And it was at the height of the crack epidemic. And there was people doing other hardcore drugs and drugs that was just seemingly, you know, worse than what weed was supposed to be. So when I was going into this hospital for smoking weed, and then the lady sat me down and told me that it's not the weed, that I have this thing called the disease of addiction, and it's going to be with me for the rest of my life. And there's nothing I can do about that. However, there is a program that will help me on a daily basis for staying clean. And so when she's telling me this, for real, right, a chill went through my body. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, hold on. Because, you know, I wasn't, you know, I wanted to stop. But I also knew when I was 21, I wanted to go to the club and get high. And I said, I can't go when I'm 21 to get high and do it right or something, you know. And she said, well, why don't we worry about today? And she left me with this little white book, and it had just for today at the end of it. And so here it is, I'm learning this new concept about living in today. So it's like, what's happening, right, family? It's like, before this day, I was in a box. I was a square, right? I was square thinking because I didn't never think that I could ever do anything outside of killing myself that would ever make me stop smoking weed, hate myself, or achieve anything in life. So I came in and I was in detox, and the guy said, I was getting high, but I didn't want to get high, and I was crying because I was getting high, but I was mad and sad because I was, like, he talked about how I felt, and I couldn't believe it because I could never really tell nobody that. You know, none of y'all wanted to hear that when I was out there getting high with you. That didn't make sense. So I had to always keep that in to myself. I had to hold that in forever. So when I heard and when I was going to these meetings, man, and y'all are talking about how you feel. I mean, you know, her talking about how she molested or got molested. I mean, I remember it was this dude, he was talking about how he wanted to molest his daughter. And that blew me away. I'm like, well, what the hell does this have to do with not getting high today, right? But it had all to do about not getting high. You know what I'm saying? Like, when we come in here and we talk about how we feel, and then we relieve ourselves, right? Like, this is what I'm learning from y'all. Because for real, I was taught that you are not supposed to feel like that, talk like that, or act like that. You know, in that box, I was stuck in that frame of mind. You know what I'm saying? But now I'm coming in here and y'all are telling me I got to come in and you got to learn this thing about honesty. You got to learn this thing about open-mindedness. You got to learn this thing about willingness. So wait a minute. Hold on. Now, wait, what are you telling me? What is that going to do for me? Keep coming. What? Keep coming. But my stepfather, he's kicking me out. I got 6 months clean, man. What's up? Keep coming. Nah, you don't understand how he makes me feel when he tells me it's after six. Don't go in the kitchen. You are not allowed. Keep coming. This dude is actually, today, you know what? He's actually dying. And my heart isn't where it was then. Like, I'm not happy about it. You know, I'm disappointed for my mother and my little sister and my family. You know what I'm saying? And the freedom I have from learning about forgiveness, I'm not in this box no more. I'm not a square thinker the way when I came in. Because when I came in and for years in recovery, I wanted this dude to look at me the wrong way for me to beat his ass. Something. Please give it to me, Doug. And he never did it. But in this process, for real family, of learning about forgiveness, which came after I learned about this honesty, this open-mindedness, this willingness, like, I'm thinking outside of this box now. I'm not stuck. Because when I was thinking like that, man, I was smoking weed with nowhere to go trying to kill myself. You know, I'm not so sure how much of a square I am today. So here I am. I live in Northern Virginia. I'm from Boston, Massachusetts. I got a career. I went to school. And all of these things are just what I received because I kept coming. When he was kicking me out of my house with a part-time job, 20 hours a week, 7:25 an hour. And I didn't know what to do. But y'all said, hold on. Y'all said, it's going to be all right. You know? I mean, I came in here at 17 years old, and here I am, 40. You know? And I'm living, and I'm not perfect. I fail. I don't really say the right thing all the time or do the right thing at the right moment all the time. But you know what? The higher power y'all gave me to use forgives me and lets me get another chance at it. That's not the way I understood God. The box that I was in before was I was going straight to hell. I can't mess with that dude because of what I did and how, even the way I feel about myself. Oh, if you commit suicide, you go straight to hell. I had no shot. But I came in here and then I found out what these principles y'all are teaching me meant and how to use them. If I learn how to be open-minded, not just about, okay, my first time working step one, but if I remain open-minded about people I strongly disagree with and try to keep it moving on and let people be where they at, then my understanding is just that much better for me to accept another principle y'all gave me, right, to move on. I'm not a square. A square would be stuck thinking it's my way or the highway. This is how I do it. You get in my program. I'm not that way no more. Now, I don't fly through things so easily all the time, man. It's real rough sometimes, man, because you know what? the stuff. It wasn't just because I was smoking weed that I wanted to kill myself. So a lot of that is still with me. And mind you, I haven't tried to do that since that day back then. But it's like those thoughts, that pattern of way of thinking can come back. You know, I still can feel bad about myself, as good as it really is for me today. I can still say, Sean, you ain't shit. And it comes in just like that. You ain't shit. But if I don't use the tools, if I don't call my sponsor, if I don't even remember a sponsee talking to me about something they was going through, and I got to kick it to them about how they could get through it, then I got to remember, you know, what you doing, man? You got to do the same thing. How are you going to be there for them if you break out on it like that? You know what I'm saying? And it's like, people are now saying to me, yeah, man, you helped me. You helped me, Sean. Like, you don't understand, because this is not the dude I thought I was in recovery. But because of what y'all have given me, by allowing me to help you, and for you to help me, you know, and it's like, yeah, you know, sometimes we do got to hold on to the words we hear in here. There was a lot of people, right, for real, right? Like, I've seen people come in the meeting, smoke it, and like, give me some hope, you know, because that's what we look for in here, that hope. That I could get it too. That I could be up here speaking too one day. Sharing my experience, strength, and hope. And touching somebody, right? But it's like, man, when you give that hope, man, that was given to you. And they tell you, man, thank you. That's the best feeling I've received while being in recovery. And I've done some things. But when somebody honestly tells me I've helped them the way somebody helped me. And that's what y'all taught me when I came in here, that Sean, you too will help somebody. I didn't believe it because I'm not eligible. I'm not worth it. I grew up thinking I'm not worth it. I'm not worth going to college one day because I'm stupid. I don't know how to spell. My math is jacked up. And I ended up graduating from the top 30th college in the country. If you left it up to me, I wouldn't have made it there, though. And I went through a program, right, for a year. And the guy who chooses you to go through that program and go to the school on a regular basis told me no. He said, nah, because, you know, even though you did the work and you passed your classes, you didn't do it the way I told you to do it. You know, but thank God for sponsorship, because I went to, damn, sponsor. Now what am I going to do? I got to go back to work at this airport working for tips, right? And he said, well, why don't you go to admissions and talk to them? And won't you tell them what you did? I didn't give up. Y'all taught me that. And then I ended up, and that lady told me, she said, listen, I don't ever want to see you in my office again until 2000 when you graduate. And that's what I did. And that was a beautiful, it was better than telling my mother, because she gave me that chance. I made myself available. And see, that's the other thing, right? Because it's like, a lot of times when I'm down and out about things, I don't want to make myself available for the beauty that this program has to offer. Because that's how I lived before I found Narcotics Anonymous. I stayed in my box. You know what I'm saying? But it's like when I just keep trying, when they tell me no, but I still go ahead with it. When I tell me no, and I still go with it. Forget when other people tell you ain't going to do it, but what about when you tell yourself? That's the kick. Get through that. But in spite of myself, I know what that means now, because y'all used to say it when I first came around. In spite of myself, here I stand. Narcotics Anonymous has given me everything that I have in my life. My career, where I live, the people in my life. Look at who I'm kicking it with today. And I'm having a real beautiful time, man. This is beautiful. And I'm standing up here in front of you. I remember when I went to my first convention back in 89. And the dude said, strange things will happen on the way to recovery. In Connecticut. Strange things will happen on the way to recovery. So what has happened to me? my way of thinking has changed, which has allowed me to become more free. I'm not a square. I'm living. My grandmother still, you still go to those meetings? Yeah, Grandma, you still go to church? Because I need this. If I stop this, I will find a way to kill Sean. I will find a way to kill Sean. And on my obituary, it will talk about my high school, my college, that I went to South Africa. It won't say that I spoke on my 11th anniversary in Cape Town, South Africa, but I did. And the room was so quiet with Afrikaners. But they wanted to hear this young black guy from Boston, Massachusetts, talk about Narcotics Anonymous and what it's done for his life and why he's sitting at their convention, going to their schools. Y'all gave me that. I was like the first one in my family, probably since slavery, to step back in Africa. Because y'all told me I could do it. But I saw you do it too, especially women. I give it to y'all. Because y'all came in here, y'all was talking about how cracked out you was, selling diapers, right? And all of that stuff. But then you come back, you get your kids, and then you go to school, and now you're like running the program of wherever you're working it at. So damn, here I am with no kids and just me in the way. I could do it too. I'm not in a box no more, family. I could still try to get myself there. So that's why I got to keep coming. That's why I got to pick up the phone when I don't want to. And even me being asked to share here on the fly, man, I came here really, man, to hopes that, you know, the cat I'm kicking it with will find this way of recovery. And here I am standing in front of y'all telling y'all how this worked for me. It's a beautiful thing, man. I am humbled by this because I really respect what Narcotics Anonymous does for our lives. You know what I'm saying? We are changing the way we think. Pimps, hoes, hustlers, addicts, thieves, all of y'all are changing. And yeah, we ain't doing it perfectly. We talk about each other, but I'm gonna keep coming. Because I've seen some real beautiful things from all of y'all. The bottom of the barrel. That's why I'm here. I didn't get that from scholars only. I didn't get that from people who, sip tea with their pinky up all the time. I got that from people who came from the bottom and said, you're eligible too. You can get this. Young fella, man, you came in at 17. Wow, what? Wow, if I got that, except, man. What would I do with that? You know, I remember when my man told me, he said, damn, if you keep coming, you'll have 10 years at 27. You know, where will you be? And that's when I was in South Africa speaking. 10 years after that, I'm settled in Northern Virginia. I'd never even heard of Woodbridge, Virginia. You know, I'm from Boston, man. My box was so tight. And the gifts, man, the gifts of living life. And again, I don't do this right. So, you know, when you see me fall short, don't say, see, I told you, you know, whatever. Nah, he's human too. I try not to, when I see people, when they raw, not assassinate them. You know, which has taught me because when I've needed forgiveness, when I wanted somebody to, you know, kind of take me back in their life. You know what I'm saying? When I was humbled by me trying to, you know, regain the confidence that I lost in them, right? So what about when somebody like my stepfather, even though he never asked me, he didn't even ask me. But it's because it frees me. Because if I don't, I'm going to still have dreams about fucking them up. No, but listen, it's for real. And I wake up in sweats. Because I didn't deserve that. So I gotta forgive you. But not for you. Dude, not for you, because he didn't even ask. But for me, because I don't want to wake up in sweats no more. Years later. even when he told me I wasn't going to graduate, even when he told me in recovery that I wasn't going to be shit. And kick this, I didn't do it for him. For real, y'all showed me that I could do it. If it wasn't for y'all before me, the ones that was out here hitting each other, throwing chairs at each other, you know what I mean? Talking a good game sometimes when it seemed appropriate to talk it. But even still, that touched me. That gave me hope that day. So even if you weren't really doing it, right? You touched me that day in order for me to make it through that day. Because that's what Jane taught me, just for today. Take what you can get in the way of inspiration. I have nowhere else to go but to a meeting. I have nothing else to do but to keep coming. Even when, like, I'm going to be kicked out of my house in the next 4 days with no way of knowing where the hell I'm going to be sleeping. That's the faith I've been given. All of these tools that the steps teach us have completely worked for me when I've applied them. And I don't apply them all the time, family, because I'm not perfect. But I understand when I work that, when I have that, when I have my understanding of that, man, I stand here before you for real, family, humbled. This is a blessing, man. I'm speaking at a convention in Ocean. I never even heard of Ocean City. This really reminds me a lot of the Cape in Massachusetts, for real, with the water and everything. And, you know, I just got to keep coming, man. Keep my mind open. I hope I gave someone the hope that was given to me when I came in, because that's why I'm here now at 40 from 17. And I hope that the rest of this day will just be like the other ones before this one. Thanks for letting me share.